not to be? That is the question.
Where was God? Isn't God supposed to be good? Isn't he supposed to love us? And does God want us to suffer?
10 years, you're not finished yet? Morty! Why did you do this to me?
Who are you?
Bruce? I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer?
Our survey says God!
Bing, 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 bing. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ultimate Issues Hour, and I'm doing something that I have never done on any of the dedicated hours, actually. The male-female hour, which is Wednesday, the happiness hour, Friday, the Ultimate Issues Hour, today, Tuesday. And that is, I am continuing on a subject that I just had been speaking about. The truth is, I don't really need to make an excuse, because if the issue of the transformation of America and of its health system is not an ultimate issue, then I don't know what an ultimate issue is. That is how important, I guess that's one of my many ways of saying to you how important I think this is. And I, because there's another reason, though. I have in studio a man I deeply respect, who happens to be, and they're not unrelated, that I respect him, and he is my doctor. It also shows you, for those of you curious, that I am perfectly capable, and indeed it is a non-issue for me, a person's politics are their politics, and their abilities are their abilities. If my surgeon is an anarchist, and he's a great surgeon, I will still have him for surgery. If my doctor in this case voted, and I knew this, for Barack Obama, then so be it. You know, so what? But I knew him to be a man of integrity, and a doctor of integrity, and terrific at his work in heart medicine. And I've had him on the show a number of times, and he's helped you tremendously. I've gotten a lot of thanks for having him on. When he told me that he regretted having voted for Barack Obama in light of this healthcare reformulation of the society, I asked him, would you be willing for me to mention your name? He said, yes. And then I thought, well, why don't I go for broke? Are you willing to come on the show? And he said, yes. So he's been on, speaks with the authority of not only a physician, but of a physician that I know is deeply devoted to his patients. His patients can all tell you that. And more than that, he has really studied the issue. Being a physician doesn't make you an expert on healthcare, obviously. Any more than being a teacher makes you an expert on education, or and the analogies can go on forever. So he was in the studio, and there's a third reason I'm devoting the Ultimate Issues Hour to this. That is, a lot of you are calling with different views, and that's good. That's good. Let these issues be aired. To say that America has the best medicine isn't to say that it's perfect. And now let me say one other thing for Dr. Michael Richman's benefit, as well as you, my listeners, why I think this is an ultimate issue. The obvious one being, of course, it's a matter of life and death, anything to do with health. So it would qualify in that way. My opposition is just as much because of what will happen to America as it is to what will happen to our health. This is why I am, quote-unquote, a conservative. I believe as strongly as any of you believe in anything that you believe in. God, and I, you know I deeply believe in God, but how's this? As strongly as I believe in God and my religion, I believe that the bigger the state, the smaller the citizen. That as the state gets bigger, humans get punier. That is how deeply, I'm choking up actually. That is how deeply I believe this. The expansion of the government in the country that has been such a success relative to other countries, in large measure thanks to its belief that the individual should be in charge of as much as possible and the state in charge of as little as possible, is being undone right now because of the large Democratic victory. So this is an ultimate issue in terms of health, but it is an ultimate issue for me, Dennis, in terms of what it says about the future of the last best hope for mankind, the United States of America. All right, we began with Dr. Michael Richman, who is a cardiothoracic surgeon and who is a particular expert on cholesterol and lipids and has a lipid center. Indeed, that's the name of his website, lipidcenter.com. You can get it through PragerRadio.com or go straight to his website. I have had him on for medical issues and now for this. And last hour, you began by speaking about American medicine as the best. We won't repeat that unless it comes up in one of the questions from people. Then you made the point that there are three things we will be losing with this reformulation of healthcare. One, excellent doctors, and you gave the example of your own field. And I have said over and over, why will people go into medicine? And then I get this ridiculous answer, well, because people love helping people. Folks, there are many ways to help people that don't involve going broke with medical school loans and devoting 10 years to making no money while you become a doctor. There are a whole host of ways of helping people, and I'm not being facetious in telling you what my brother, who is a distinguished physician, a professor of medicine at Columbia University, he has said to me for years, Dennis, you know who really help people? Garbage men. They have done more for health than all of us doctors. I mean, he's a little tongue-in-cheek, but the truth is sanitation is a huge factor. There are many ways to help people, and I'm not kidding in saying that sanitation men do it. So do teachers, and so does anybody doing good work. So does a good businessman. Why spend the money and the time to be a doctor when there's no remuneration in it? I am not a doctor. I want doctors well paid because I have this bizarre belief that if you pay less, somehow you will get less quality. I mean, isn't that rather rational? Why does Derek Jeter get $23 million? Because he's the best shortstop. That's why. I mean, this is not rocket science. You pay, and I want doctors well paid. I do. It's not my field, and I want it to happen that way. I want my doctor to come to the office and be very ambitious, very, to be the very best doctor so he can charge the best rates or get the best clients or whatever else is in his mind. I want that. I don't believe in this notion, this childish. It's really, it's childlike. People will do it out of the goodness of their hearts or out of altruism. I want a level of altruism in the doctor in terms of responsibility. I want doctors to give, as they always have, some of their time to charity. That was always done in American history. Doctors gave pro bono time. I didn't know a doctor who didn't. Now they're too worried, however, to making literally paying their bills. I know a lot of doctors. My brother is a physician. I know Dr. Richman. My mother-in-law is a physician. I have a lot of doctors in the world that I know what's going on. And folks, they're not getting very rich, despite your last name, Dr. Michael Richman. All right, doctor, let's take some more calls. Unless you have a comment to make, we'll go to more challenges to you.
I just have one quick comment about what you said. It is very disheartening, you know, because people do think that doctors are getting wealthy. And I fear every day, and I hate dealing with money, and I hate talking to patients about money because that's not how I was trained. But one of my mentors, who happens to be one of the most conservative people I know, who's a very big surgeon, said to me, Michael, you need to stop doing things for free always and being such a nice guy. You were entitled to make a living.
That's right.
Like everybody else you in are. Every other profession.
Yeah.
And that's a very hard concept for a lot of doctors to grasp.
And there are plenty of doctors. I mean, I have brought to people's attention the doctors at Cure International, people that are staggering. They go to the most difficult countries in the world, impoverished places, and they give of their lives for virtually for free. I mean, there are doctors like that, and God bless them. But I can't expect that the average doctor is going to be like that. And I want them well, as I said, well, at least fairly remunerated for all the work and time that they have put in. All right. And, now, from all over the country, we have calls, and I want to take them. The transformation of the health system and the transformation of America are the reasons that I am, and Dr. Richmond's presence in the studio, to be honest, are the three reasons that I am devoting this Ultimate Issues Hour to this Ultimate Issue. 1-8-PRAGER-776. It'll probably be busy, but it's worth continuing to try. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. And I am devoting this Ultimate Issues Hour to Dr. Michael Richmond and the subject of healthcare. Ultimate Issues Hours are always their own world. Some of the greatest questions of life I cover at that hour. But frankly, this is an ultimate issue that gives you an idea of how in my heart, my soul, and my mind, I believe this to be so significant to not allow this to happen, because it will change America for the worse forever, both in terms of its health and in terms of the way that society is run. The bigger the state, the smaller the citizen. Please just know that. America's greatness has been because it has honored, it has exalted the worth of the individual, not of the state. Wherever possible, the individual, the community, the group, the church, the synagogue should be dealing with things, not the state. Dr. Michael Richmond is my guest. I was talking to him last hour. He voted for Barack Obama. He is my doctor. By the way, he was my doctor, even though I knew he was voting for Barack Obama. I just want to say that once again. It didn't mean a thing to me. It just proved to me that he was human, since to err is human. And that was it. But he is such a wonderful man and a wonderful doctor. It was a non-issue to me, and as it should be. I wonder, though, it'd be an interesting to know if people who are as liberal as I am, committed to conservative principles, would how they'd feel if they knew their doctor voted for John McCain. I just wonder. I don't have it's really an open question. I don't know. It may be a non-issue for them, too. By the way, my wife tells me of a story that of a woman. She was told about a woman in Canada from someone, a friend of hers in Canada. Canada won't perform a simple bowel obstruction removal surgery on this otherwise healthy, active, vibrant 81-year-old woman. And how long will it be before we arrive at the same place? Because once you reach a certain age, you're just supposed to accept that even a treatable condition will be allowed to kill you. Is that, do you think, where we're headed?
Well, clearly, just she does not have a complete bowel obstruction. That's an emergency. The old axiom is the sun shall neither rise nor set on a bowel obstruction, because the patient will die. So I think we're headed, and one of my big fears are people that have cancer right now, who maybe, like for pancreatic cancer, the statistics of survival are pretty dismal, okay? And because of that, how many people who haven't now, like a Patrick Swayze, who are actually alive and doing well, are not going to get the care? Now, mm-hmm. He will, because he has money, but are not going to get the care under this new thing. And to say that everybody is going to get equal quality, that is wrong.
Okay, let's get some challenges to you, Dr. Michael Richmond. Tom in Santa Maria, California, thanks for calling. Dennis Prager and Dr. Richmond.
Thank you. You know, Dr. Richmond, who sounds like an outstanding physician, I'd make an appointment to see him in
Thank
a heartbeat.
Thank you.
But just since this was just discussed, he's unfortunately using the same intellectually dishonest argument regarding government-run health care that you, Dennis, and other conservative commentators use all the time, and that is always using England and Canada as the examples of what our health care, new health care might look like, when both of you know that the planet is filled with countries that have government-run healthcare systems that are excellent and are efficient, and the citizens love France, Japan, Taiwan, Germany, Netherlands. So why always England and Canada? Just one last point. Whatever plan might come out of Congress and get put into law, and might's the key word, it will look nothing like Canada or England's health care. Single payer isn't even an option here.
Well, it's funny because on the intellectual honesty issue, the Barney Frank and others acknowledge that this is the road to single payer. I think you, and I don't think you've been intellectually dishonest at all, I think, though, that you've been a little naive in not recognizing that the goal is single payer, that this is merely the great leap forward, and I use the term advisedly, toward that end.
No. Dr. Richmond knows how powerful insurance companies are.
Exactly, by the way, what I wanted to touch on.
They're not going anywhere.
Okay, Dr. Richmond.
That's exactly, you know, a point that needs to be addressed is why doesn't anybody take on the insurance companies? And that, to me, is the root of the problem. I think congressmen and senators are scared because they get so much money from the insurance companies. But if somebody would just say, hey, I don't care if I get reelected, but I'm going to stand on my principles and take on the insurance companies, because every day is a fight to get stuff approved. I can't get certain medicines approved one day to the next. I get the same form letter from Blue Cross. And it's so deeply distressing because this medicine is a matter of life or death.
Okay, so then how do you answer those who say because they are so unmovable and they have their hands in the pockets of so many people in Congress that the only way to take them on is with a public option? That's the government's, that's President Obama's argument.
But don't we have a public option now? We have Medi-Cal in California for the poor and the disabled. We have Medicare for the elderly, and we have Medicaid nationwide, which is the Medi-Cal. So everybody really has insurance if you really think about it. It's just run so inefficiently. So now we're going to add on people and make it even more inefficient?
Well, that's the key, Tom, and thank you for your call. And let me answer you, because this would be more my province than Dr. Richmond's. Why do we use Canada and England and not Japan and the Netherlands, for example? Well, I'll give you one reason, is because we know far more about British and Canadian health care. Canada is our neighbor. Canada is the closest country to us in terms of its value system, language, et cetera, except for Quebec, obviously. And so it's very logical to use Canada. We use Canada. It's our largest trading partner. I mean, it is. We have so much in common. People cross the border all the time. Britain is also an Anglo-Saxon country, if you will. And so we use those countries we are most familiar with. I am not familiar with Japan's healthcare system, nor could I possibly be. How many healthcare systems can I measure? But there is another reason beyond that. And that is, I suspect if you did, in fact, follow Japan's system, you would not be thrilled with it. And I would bet, Tom, and all others who would ask that fine question, that you would not want Japan's system. And I will tell you the more important factor here is that Japan is a totally unified ethnic country. There is one ethnicity, one language, one people, one religion in Japan. It is very easy in such a country where you do not have nearly the immigration that you have to America. They don't allow immigrants. They just don't allow immigrants into Japan. There are virtually zero immigrants. I mean, it's just not a fair comparison. If the United States were only North Dakota, we would have spectacular health care any way we would do it. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. It is the Ultimate Issues Hour, and I have invited Dr. Michael Richmond, who came on the middle of the last hour, to stay on, even though it is Ultimate Issues Hour, but I do think it is an ultimate issue. I want to make something clear, by the way. To say that America has the best medicine is not to say that things are great. It's to say that they are. See, the best and great may not be the same thing. We have real problems with our insurance companies. Every doctor I know tells me this, and patients certainly tell their doctors this. I am aware of that. See, what I am also aware of, though, that most Americans understandably are not aware, and I am aware of this because of my background in studying the left. That was my academic field, and it has been my preoccupation for much of my life. What the left does, and often sincere people are members of this. I don't have the same view of people on the left that people on the left have of people on the right, that they're all bad and they're all mean-spirited and so on. I don't care if they're bad or good. I care if the policies are bad or good. So a lot of them are good and have bad policies. But here is the theory. If something is flawed, you destroy it and you make something better instead of improving what is already flawed. That's why I knew not to vote for Barack Obama, wrote it and said it. He wanted to transform America and he wanted to change America. I wanted to improve America. I want to improve health care. I think the insurance companies are a serious problem. But I don't want to overthrow the system. Because I know, as I live and breathe, we will get something much worse. All right, let's continue with Dr. Michael Richman, who is my guest. And again, as I introduced him earlier, is not only a cardiothoracic surgeon and my own doctor, but one who did vote for Barack Obama and now feels that that was a mistake because of this particular issue. All right, but I'm taking as many challenges as I can find here. Let's go to a doctor in Houston, okay? Dr. Mike, you're on with another Dr. Mike. Hi.
Nice to talk to you, Dr. Dennis.
Hi.
I wanted to call. I don't have a question per se. I wanted to offer a position. One of the things that I've believed for a few years is that...
Hold on. Well, you know what, doctor? You're driving and speaking in the remote control or whatever. What? The what?
Yes. How's this? Is this better?
Say it again.
Is this more clear now?
Yeah, much more clear, yeah.
Okay, all right. So one of the things I wanted to propose is the fact that it's not that we need to be afraid of a socialized healthcare system being proposed currently. It's the fact that we've had socialized medicine. In 1986, we had a law that said anybody can go to an emergency room and have access in an acute setting. Then we've also had Medicare and Medicaid, which are large governmental-sponsored healthcare organizations. And those things combined, given that Medicare and Medicaid are 60% of all healthcare expenditures, we've had a socialized system. And we've had a system with pseudo capitalistic system on top of that. Neither, when you have those two systems together, nothing will work. And that.
So you wanted to be all one or all the other?
No. My solution would be, if I was king for a day, would be you need to focus on the problems. And I've not heard the right or the left really talk about the inherent problem is myself as a physician and yourself as a patient never are concerned about cost. When you go to the physician, Dennis, you ask how much...
That's right. I think there's tremendous truth in that. I would love to shift everything over in that direction. God bless you. We're going to take a break, but I'll get Dr. Richman's take on what you've said, Dr. Mike, in Houston. But one of my solutions is, first of all, almost everybody should only have catastrophic insurance. Every other bill should be paid by the individual, just as we do for our car. I get a lube change. I don't send the bill to my car insurance company. A fender bender I pay for because I know that I have a deductible. It should be large. Catastrophic should be the norm. And that way people do care about what their cost is on any given visit. Until it's huge, a huge issue, and the higher, the better it is for everybody, the higher that deductible is. That's my take. People should be responsible for their own health. That is exactly right. When people don't ask how much it is, that's a bad sign. You hit it on the nose. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, the Ultimate Issues Hour, and the ultimate issue is, in fact, healthcare. And I've not done this before, but it is so urgent, and because I had my doctor, Dr. Michael Richman, in, I've decided to devote this hour to it. We had a doctor call in from Houston just now, and I know, Dr. Richmond, you didn't get a chance to respond, so please go ahead.
Mike, in response to your question, that's exactly what I said. We've had socialized medicine with Medicaid, Medi-Cal in California, and Medicare, and I'm sure, you know, you dealing with it know that you're denied, there's appeals. And, you know, I can tell you, I've operated on virtually the same patient, two of them in one day. I mean, same demographics, same ethnicity. One's denied, one's not, and you just get a letter back, not necessary. It didn't meet medical necessity. So I've had to go to administrative law judges, which takes 6 or 7 months. So now you're going to compound that problem for more people. This system needs to be fixed first before, you know, if it ultimately went to a single payer and it worked, fantastic. But this system is so flawed, and I can tell you it's going to drive doctors. I already know lots of doctors that don't take Medicare and don't take insurance, and it's growing. In the LA Times, probably about a year ago, one of the biggest oncology groups in the South Bay went out of business because they couldn't afford the chemotherapy drugs because they were paying out of their own pocket from the denials.
All right. And by the way, if you feel strongly enough, I want you to know, folks, that we have, in fact, gone over the 1 million petition signatories at the Free Our Healthcare Now petition. So if you go there, I would like to surpass 1.3 million, frankly, and I'll tell you why. Because the largest petition ever brought to Washington was 1,300,000, Newt Gingrich petition on drilling. And I'd like to surpass that on the healthcare through our Salem radio and the freeourhealthcarenow.com. So that's it. You can press, you can go to PragerRadio.com and just click on the Free Our Healthcare button or go straight there. Okay, so let's go to Los Angeles. Christine, hi, you're on with Dr. Michael Richmond and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi, Dennis. I want to say that I think that Dr. Richmond is a very decent human being, but I have to say that I'm extremely angry and resentful that people who voted for Barack Obama are now all of a sudden scared of socialized medicine. I saw what this man was all about before I even voted for him. So my question is, what's my moral duty at this point to fight for an America that I would like to see stay in place, which is a free America? But I didn't vote for this guy, so why shouldn't Americans just have to accept the consequences of him? I sign a health care petition. I go to a primary care physician who does not take insurance. I pay out of my own pocket. And I'm wealthy enough to move my family out of the country if I have to get better medical care. So make for me a moral case why I should not do that.
Why you should not do what?
Just let America suffer the consequences of Obamacare.
Well, the moral case is because you love America.
But
well, why is that hard? So what? People voted for him. So they made a mistake. So therefore what?
But the mistake, but the handwriting was on the wall.
I believe the handwriting. I said because as soon as I heard change and transform, I knew the handwriting was on the wall and I knew what the Democratic Party stood for. But see, I don't understand. Do you want to cut your nose to spite your face? So because Americans voted for the wrong man in your view and now others' view who did vote for him, therefore it's best if America suffer? I just don't see that logic. I mean, I understand, you know, you're being upset, but I don't understand the logic. Let's prevent the damage that he is engaged in. Most people voting for Barack Obama, or at least half of them, and certainly independents like my doctor, did not foresee socialized medicine for the entire country when they voted for him. All right? I mean, they should have, but they didn't, and that's the way it is.
Can I make one quick point? And I use this analogy. I treat a lot of vein patients and do a lot of vein surgery. And people come in and they want to be fixed the next week, the next day. And I say to them, listen, this has been going on 30 years. It's a process. It's going to take a year or 2 years, and it's never going to be perfect. Well, this is the same thing. It's great that finally people are acting on it, but it can't be done overnight. And the fact that everybody's trying to set a timeline, just some arbitrary date that somehow it's going to be better, is so insane. So let's work on it now and let's try and fix it. One other thing. I was on the Exercycle at my gym on Saturday, and I was sitting next to a Swedish gentleman who's lived in the United States 15 years, and he goes back and forth. He is fairly wealthy. And he said to me, you know, the only reason I get good care in Sweden is because I pay out of my pocket. If I use their public system, I don't get the same care. So, you know, that's the point, is everybody wants to look at every other country. Well, nobody has the same population numbers that we do. And you can't compare China and Russia. If you want to look at Russia, they flew Michael DeBakey in to operate on Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah, of course. Nobody's using Russia happily. It'd be a bad day.
Right.
When we say, well, it's a better in Russia. I mean,
right.
I would be happy for Russians, but it's not something that we are going to be witnessing. Let's go to Chardon, Ohio. John. Hello, John. Dennis Prager.
Hi, gentlemen. Anyone knows what's going? What anyone would agree that we have the best health care in the world. The real problem, and where more focus should be, is that because of the larger than ever number of baby boomers hitting the Social Security and Medicare system shortly, we have a tsunami of escalating health costs headed in our direction that will dwarf the escalating health costs of the past. Obama's talking about it, but the solutions are terrifying and terrible. Whereas the Republicans have a good, viable solutions involving primarily the private sector that are being ignored by this administration.
Right, and the individual through medical savings accounts. We'll get Dr. You have obviously a reaction, Dr. Richmond. Final segment coming up. Again, I ask you to sign the petition in this regard if you agree with us. If you don't, obviously, you won't want to. But if you do agree and you care about this country, please sign that particular petition. Back in a moment with Dr. Richmond. I'm Dennis Prager.
If you have a friend on whom you think you can rely, you are a lucky man. If you found the reason to live on and not to die, you are a lucky man. Preachers and poets and scholars don't know it. Temples and statues and steeples won't show it. If you've got the secret, just try not to blow it. Stay a lucky man. A lucky man.
You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Final segment here in the Ultimate Issues Hour, which I have devoted, in fact, to healthcare and to Dr. Michael Richmond, who is a cardiothoracic surgeon who did vote for Barack Obama and now feels it was a mistaken vote. You were going to respond to the last call, Doctor.
Right. My issue is I do have a little solution to the problem. First of all, you know, I just want to say I didn't think that this was going to happen so rapidly. And that's why I regret it, because everybody is trying to push through something that is so fast and is not even, you know, has not been thought about clearly. Now, I want to say that this bill would expand something called MedPAC. And MedPAC is a body of unelected, unaccountable officials called an Independent Medicare Advisory Committee, which only respond to the executive branch. There's no congressional oversight. And what this would be is five or six people, bureaucrats, and I've heard from the American College of Surgeons, who actually represent doctors, unlike the AMA, given that 40% of the members of the AMA do not even practice, that this committee would be made up of a generalist, and he would decide what care, they would decide what care is necessary or not. My proposal is, let the cardiologist decide what's good for them, but pick three guys in academic and three guys like me who are not afraid to ruffle some feathers and tell it like it is. Get together with cool heads and decide, but stop going to the same academic people who tell people what they want to hear rather than the facts.
Thank you, Dr. Michael Richmond. He is at the Lipid Center in West Los Angeles. And you can contact him directly or through Pragertopia, through Prager Radio. Pragertopia is a reminder, good one, Dennis, that you can subscribe to getting every one of my shows anytime you want for under $7 a month. I think it's worth it. Many thousands of people feel that. There was a man who sent me a letter, said he listens to the show while swimming underwater. Remember I read that? That was great. I mean, he really does. He has an underwater iPod-type device. That's really something. Cracks me up what goes on out there. This is why I devoted this UI hour, this Ultimate Issues hour, because of Dr. Richman and because of the importance of the subject. And if you have cancer in Japan, to that last, that prior caller, intelligent call, asked about Japan and other countries, there's no country on Earth that has the longevity record of a cancer patient, as does the United States of America. Thanks for listening.